Before we get started, I'll give you an opportunity to thank the Lord for whatever He's been doing in your life. See, we don't do this all the time, so people don't know what to do at this moment. Somebody else. All right. Gonna just share a little bit tonight about choices. You know, sometimes choices we make, whether it's good or bad, sometimes it can take years to affect us. And but before I get started, I just want to, I don't know what everybody was told or heard about this past Sunday, but I had an encounter. And I think some people passed during the encounter and kind of thought I was just as crazy as the guy I had the encounter with. And I was in the kitchen next door, and my wife came in and said, "Hey, there's somebody outside hollering at people as they pass." So I went out there and wanted to know what was his problem, because I don't need people here hollering at our people. So he meets me out in the yard, and he was loud. So, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm a prophet." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yep, I'm a prophet of God." I said, "Okay. I don't know who told you that, but I don't believe you're a prophet." But, you know, we got to talking, and sometimes you have to get stern with people, especially when there's a spirit controlling what they do. You have to be able to discern the difference and tell at what point do I get stern. And it's got to be through God's spirit, because in ourselves we can't, just don't even fool with it. But he got loud, and I just kind of got loud right back and took, through the Spirit of God, just took authority. Because God says we have power over the enemy. And sometimes we have to use what God gives us, but we have to also be careful and be led by His Spirit. But he wanted to know who I was, so I told him. And, you know, I also explained to him, said, "Your mind's messed up." And then it really, he really got loud. His mind, his messed up mind began to show itself. And I said, "But what you need is a relationship with God." Because at one point he pulls his hat off and he's like, "Well, pray for me." I said, "I'm going to pray for you. But before I pray for you, I need to explain to you what has to happen. No, you can't just pray for people and not explain to them what God wants. So I begin to try to explain to him, you know, your mind's messed up. And then he's like, well, nobody ain't never told me that. I said, well, I'm telling you, your mind's messed up. The enemy has destroyed your mind and he's controlling you. But a real relationship with God can change that. Of course, you start talking about a relationship with God, then that spirit don't want to stay. So at that point, he's like, well, I'm leaving. Well, I can't make you stay. I said, and your problem is you're going around trying to get men to give you what only God can give you. Well, he said, well, pray for me. Slay me in the spirit. I said, well, I can't slay you in the spirit. Probably slay you, but not in the spirit. But see, people's minds messed up, and they believe that man can touch them, and it just changes their life, and it don't do nothing. If I touch you, you're just touched. That's all I can tell you. It's plain and simple. But if God touches you, it can cause an encounter with him through the Spirit, and it'll change our life. So, you know, and every time I try to explain, it takes God. It's not me. It ain't no other pastor. I don't care what church you go to, because he started rattling off about different pastors and stuff. I don't care what pastor you go to. You get every one of them to lay hands on you. But they can't give you what you need. Only God can, through Jesus, through his blood, through his salvation, you can get what you need. Of course, when you start talking about Jesus and being real with God, well, naturally that spirit don't want to hear that, so he just left. Then I was told, I think yesterday, that at some point between Sunday and yesterday, he went to jail because he showed up at people's house. See, we don't have to tolerate that stuff. But if we're going to fool with it, we need to be led by the Spirit. And it would have been worse without him wanting to be delivered. Because you can take control of the Spirit. You can cast it out. But if that person don't want to be who God wants them to be, you make them worse. You're not helping them. So if you heard about it, or you might have passed and thought I was kind of loud, well, I was, because until I got loud and said, okay, you're going to listen. Well, he was just mumbling on and rattling off. But you see, his mind was like that because of a choice. And we make choices every day, and it affects us. And this morning, as I was sitting home getting ready to go out on a boat, I was reminded of just traveling, just going different places. And you know, sometimes when you go to an area that you're not from, you're not used to driving in that area, there's warning signs. You know, you go to the hills, and there are signs that let you know. If you're pulling out to a main highway, some places there's limited, your view's limited because of a hill. You know, if it's a bus stop over a hill, there's a sign let you know there's a bus stop coming up. And how many of you have been traveling in an unknown place? You know, maybe the first time you've ever visited there, and you're coming up to a red light, but there's a caution light on a sign before that, and it's flashing. But that's to let you know that light's up there. You know, when you see that light, you don't just speed up and close your eyes and just hope you're going to make it. Probably you won't. But it's there for a reason. It's to warn us that if we're not careful, there could be danger ahead. And it's no different in the Word of God. especially, you know, the Torah portion is just seems like every week it just gets more and more powerful, more and more direction. And, you know, you take God's word, and there's a lot of places in the Bible that warns us of things. It lets us know of the danger ahead. But there's a lot of people that when they see the danger sign or they get the warning, they ignore it. And they find themselves in trouble. You know, it's kind of like sitting in school and the teacher says, if you don't do what you're supposed to, you're going to get punished work. You got to write the same sentence 200 times. You know, if you write the same sentence 200 times, by the end of that 200 times, you kind of know how to spell every word. But it don't come without a warning. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord gave us a word. He said, I set before you life and death. But then at the end, he gave us an answer. He said, choose life. And there's a lot of people in the church world that just don't take heed to that. And they just live life any kind of way they want to. But our choices, somewhere down the line, even in the everyday life, choices that we make is going to affect us. Most of the time it don't affect people. Some of the things that we do when we're young don't affect us till we get older. Some it's sickness. Some it's just, you know, things that we've done when we were younger affects our body later on in life. And you know, I remember talking to a guy that his son committed a crime, and he said, well, what do you think? Can God help him? I said, absolutely God could help him. But on the other hand, what we have to understand is what he done was unlawful. The law says not to, but he done it anyway. God shows up. But there could still be a consequence as well. You go to jail and serve time. See, people don't want to hear that. They just totally, they think if you give an answer that way, you're wrong. But, you know, just because if I go and rob a bank, and then I ask God to forgive me, and I believe if you're really serious and honest with God, he will. Through Jesus, he'll forgive you. But the fact that I done something that was unlawful, there could still be a consequences and there could still be jail time. But it still don't change the fact of who God is. You know, we think if we go do something wrong and we get punished for it, well, God didn't do what he was supposed to do. Yeah, God done it way back in the beginning of his word. He warned us about making choices, right or wrong. And all we have to do is just follow the leadership of what God's word says and make right choices. You know, it's just like the children of Israel. Anytime Pharaoh had everything done to him that was done from the time the children of Israel was in bondage till he let them go and they couldn't see the hand of God, all they done was murmured, complained, and it was always somebody else's fault. Because they got their eyes on man. But even this portion that we're in now, you know, it's so powerful because everything they wanted from God, they wanted Moses to go and get it. What about some of these other guys? What about everybody that has get a relationship with God? and then we won't have to depend on somebody else to go and get what we need. Because I can't get what you need. You can't get what I need. It comes because of, and we have to choose whether or not we're going to have that relationship. You know, and it's just like a husband and wife. You choose whether or not you're going to have a relationship. And it's that no different serving God. And sometimes we want all the blessings. We want all the benefits. But we don't want to do what it takes to get there. You know, it'd be nice. It's kind of like when I was running yachts. It was nice. Every 3 or 4 years, I get a different vehicle and didn't have a payment. But then I chose to not work there no more, so I had to go buy my own truck. And you don't just go to the car lot and they give it to you. You get a car note. But it's because I chose that. And in being who God wants us to be, we have to choose to want to be who God wants us to be. And I was thinking, just as I was getting ready, I was reminded of the first boat. It was a 21-foot Lafitte skiff with an outboard on it. You know, when we was kids, we didn't look for vehicles. You had to have the nicest boat or the fastest boat. Sometimes it didn't matter how nice it was, long as it was fast. But I remember getting this boat, and I'm going out, and I kind of doubted whether or not I should make a turn that I made, but I done it anyway. And I ended up running aground, and a gas tank moved and hit me in the leg, and I thought I broke my leg. But I sat there for hours in pain. But it was because of a choice. See, I chose even being warned. Because when you second guess yourself whether or not you can make it somewhere, you probably shouldn't try it. But I tried it anyway. And, you know, years down the road, I had just gotten married and was charter fishing. And I picked up 3 guys at South Pass. And we went out and we were fishing and the tide was falling. So one of them says, "Hey, I'm ready to go in." So, well, we have a choice here. We can go back the way we came and we're probably not going to make it because the tide done fell over a foot. Or we could go the long way and possibly catch fish coming back down through South Pass. And one of them says, "Well, I ain't never been on a boat that ran aground before. Won't we try it?" Okay, here we go. And sure enough, we ran aground. So I trimmed the motor up and the guys is walking and the boat starts moving. So I got 3 of them and now I got to make a choice. So I just asked the question. I said, "Which one of y'all is paying for this trip today?" The guy raises his hand. He says, "I am." See, just because you get a group fishing together don't mean that they're really good buddies. It's because one of them's paying for it and the other two's just riding alone. So when he said, "I'm paying for it," I said, "Y'all two jump overboard and start pushing the boat out." So they just looked at me and said, "I ain't joking. Y'all not paying. Jump overboard. Are we going to stay here? The tide's still falling. We could get out and push. Or we could just sit here. And it's going to get worse." So they got in the water and I got in the water. And we pushed the boat where it was deep enough to trim the motor down. And we went on and actually ended up catching fish all the way down South Pass. But you see, the choice that I made paid off in the end. Because the guy paying for the trip, because I didn't tell him to jump over. And by the way, he was the one wanted to try it. My tip was almost as much as the trip cost. I mean, the other guys, by the time we got back to the boat, they were dry. That was one good thing. See, sometimes knowing, because I knew before we tried it, I knew we wasn't going to make it. But they hadn't done that before. And a lot of times, because we hadn't done something before, we try to go into areas that the Word warns us against, and it causes us to run aground or we get in trouble. So we need to really pay attention to our choices on how we choose and what we choose. You know, you start making right choices, you start allowing God's Word to become real, and it'll just change everything. It'll change situations. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we act. It'll change what we do. And, you know, I'm so thankful to just see the hand of God in people's lives. And I wasn't in service last Saturday, but I just want to tell Sister Dawn that I really appreciate her. You know, she read again Saturday. Told her she keeps reading, she's going to be up here talking about the Torah portion one Saturday. But the Saturday before, I'm sitting back there waiting for service to start, and I seen when she walked to Brother Chad, and he come running, and he said, "Sister Dawn said she's reading this." Well, she said she's reading it. That's what she's reading. See, that's what it takes. God's looking for us to get involved in His Word. And I can tell you there ain't nobody in this church hates reading more than me. But sometimes you just got to take the time out. You know, my wife and I were in Georgia a couple weeks ago. I've been going so much, I don't know what week I was where. And the Lord just impressed on me to read the book of Amos. You know, that's one of them little short books that you're going through your Bible and you just pass over it. And I'm like, okay, Lord, read it or listen to it. It's easy to get your phone and just go to your Bible app and plus hit play. No, he said, read it. And I mean, I'm not the fastest reader in the world. Of course, my wife's kind of just looking at me. But I sat there and read the whole 9 chapters. I mean, I could have said, hey, won't you come read this? Or let's just sit down and listen to it. But that ain't what God said. But I got more out of it because I sat there and read it than if I'd have just hit play on my phone and listened to it. I mean, I listened to it a couple times later that day on my phone. Because no matter how many times you listen or read, when you go back, you always get something you kind of missed the first time. And that's why it's important to make that choice, that if God's going to tell me to go and read something, there's a reason for it. So after I read it the first time, I need to go back and do it again. And then again. And then again. Because every time there's some part of it that's going to reach out and just help us. So let's just kind of we need to work on choices that we make. And just before we make a choice, make sure that's the choice God wants us to make. You know, even tonight I told the Lord, I said, I only want what you want. It's not about what I think. It's not about what I say, but it's about what you want. And I was asked yesterday, we were getting a list of houses to work on, and the question come up and said, well, how long are you going to be here? I said, until God says don't come back. You know, I feel like I was led by the Spirit when I got there. And I believe that I'll know when it's time to just back away. And that's what's important. You know, I went to a meeting a couple Fridays ago. And everybody's talking. So they got to me and kind of skipped over and said, "We're going to come back to you." I said, "Okay. Whatever y'all want. But I'm getting my turn." So, you know, everybody's talking about what group they're in and what they're doing and how they're doing it. So then they said, "Okay, it's your turn." So I stood up. And if you're going to preach, you got to be standing. Can't get it out good sitting down. So I made this statement. I said, you know, coming up and rebuilding houses is fine. It's awesome. Coming and rebuild houses is needed. I said, but one thing we have to be sure of, we can't forget the real reason we're here. It's not the real reason ain't to go and build somebody's house. Because there's people that's hurting, there's people that's troubled, and there's people that's holding on to stuff. And they need to hear the truth of God's word. Now, I got people right now that just will not let us go and help them in their house because they hadn't went through stuff. You know, stuff's going to keep a lot of people out of God's kingdom. Because they're holding on to man-made stuff that cannot replace what God has for us. And but I made that clear. And I said, you know, when we forget that this is about God, it's about letting people know there's a God here. And you know, it might seem like you lost everything in your house. But I'll guarantee you, if you look just a little ways down the road, there's somebody in worse shape than you're in. And, you know, I just shared what the Lord laid on my heart, because that's the reason I believe that I was sent there and the people that we've been working with sent there. And it's just, you know, we take time out when we go to people's house and we listen. If they fuss, then we let them fuss. But then we let them know, you don't have to do this alone. And there's no doubt in my mind that every person that had a flooded house was no different than we were after when Katrina hit. We had warning. We knew by the word we received before Hurricane Katrina that God would be in control. But you know, if you don't grab a hold of what God says, then you end up going through that battle all alone. And that's not the way God designed it. But you know, I said what the Lord laid on my heart. And another guy stood up and he's like, you know, sometimes we get caught up in a moment. We get caught up in what we have to do when it comes to physical stuff, and we forget the most important thing, which is spiritual. And that's, you know, that's, to me, that's more important than going and rebuild somebody's house, is letting them know that God has to be in control here. It has to be what God wants, His way, what He says, and only Him. Because in the end, He's got to receive the glory. It's not about what man does. It's not about how many nails you drive. It's not about how many times you stroke with a paintbrush. But it's about being who God wants us to be and let people know there's a God. As real as your house was flooded, as real as storms come, as real as things is taken from us, there's a God there that wants to help us, and He wants to be our strength. But it only comes through a relationship. He don't want to be just a passive by God and just touch you every now and then. He wants to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every moment of the day that you and I trust Him and just communicate with Him. You know, it's just been, I can't tell you the times, just nobody else is around. You know, somebody asked me one time about church service. You know, do y'all shout? Do y'all get excited? So let me tell you something. You are who you are when there ain't nobody shouting and nobody else is around and you're all alone. However real you allow God to be when nobody else is there and you're all alone in your life, that's how real He's going to be no matter who else comes around. And I had some of the best times just sitting in my truck where the Spirit of God just show up. You see, we gotta be sensitive to that Spirit. He didn't come in a big old shout. Didn't come in a burst of wind. But it was a still small voice that just kind of he eases right next to you. And He says, "Hey, won't you communicate with me?" You know, I don't know how many people that I've been driving down the interstate and they kind of think, they look at you and, you know, because look, God ain't going to show up and something don't change and just the expression of your life. You know, there's times people would pass and they just look at you and you got tears flowing and ain't nobody else around. But that's what happens when the Spirit of God shows up. You got to be sensitive to it. You know, let's just, and it's so awesome. And you get to thinking, well, why did that just happen? And then a couple hours later, you meet up with somebody going through the worst day of their life. But because of that moment, because of that time, because that few minutes, that time that you just spent just communicating with God through the Spirit, everything that needs to be said, He just lays right there. You open your mouth and He speaks. And that's the kind of relationship God's looking for us to have, but it's going to have to come because we make the right choice. We got to choose to want that. You know, people choose every day. And I told a lady, look, it's your choice. We can help you. Or you could keep living in a mold-infested house that hadn't been gutted and stay sick. They all think they got pneumonia. It's not pneumonia. It's from the mold. And they're living in it. And God sending help and they saying, well, they can go through my stuff. Do you know what I said? I'm reminded of that. And the Lord reminds me of it often. How many times the Spirit of God shows up to us. But we're too busy worried about our stuff. You know, what's going to happen to my stuff if I go spend time with God? You spend time with God, you're not going to worry about the stuff. Stuff won't matter. And look, you put Him first and all this other stuff, He'll make sure we have it. It might not be what we want, or when we think we need it. But He'll always be there on time. He's always on time. And a lot of times we think that we need something right now. But you know what? Our Father knows best. So let's just take God's word. And what I talked about came from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 and 19. You know, when he places before us, He says, I place before you life and death. But He gives us the answer. Choose life. You know, there's a lot of people in America that's not choosing life. But it's because of choices. And it affects us. And then if we keep making the wrong choices, not only does it affect us, if you read this, it said it also affects our loved ones because of choices we make. Is it going to be a good effect or a bad effect? We decide. You know, if we want a bad effect in our family's life, just keep making bad choices. If we want a good effect, keep choosing what God wants. Let Him lead us in every choice that we have to make and everything that we do. And I guarantee you, it'll change how we feel. It'll change what we do. It'll change what we say. In some cases, it'll even change where we go. If we let Him lead us into making every choice. Let's all stand. Father, we thank You for this night. We thank You for everyone that has come out to this service tonight, God. We thank You for Your word, Father. We thank You that You are so real, that You are so mindful of us, and You know exactly what we need, Father. And I'm asking You that You would help us to apply Your word to our lives like never before, that You would open up the minds of our understanding to who You are and what You want to do in our lives, that we could see clearly, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank You and we give You all the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.